Scripture reading before the sermon will be from John chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. John chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the man sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. Life for you is keep your Bibles there in John chapter 6. Our entire scripture reading is actually verses 1 through 15. We'll get to that in just a moment. So just keep your Bibles open there. Over our next four lessons, our next four sermons, we're going to be discussing really the entire chapter of John chapter 6. This morning we're going to note most especially when Jesus fed the 5,000. And then we'll go on to the next part of the chapter. And finally, with the final sermon 2 weeks from now, we will tie all the lessons together. The feeding of the 5,000, the 5,000 men, is the only miracle recorded by all four gospel writers. So now let's observe first the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then we'll look at some lessons from it. Let's look at our entire passage this morning, verses 1 through 15. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which they did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet which or that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they will come, and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. Our setting here, we find in Matthew 14, 1 through 12, and Mark 6, 14 through 29, and Luke 9, 7 through 9, all recounts of what is taking place surrounding this momentous event. We find there that Herod had recently killed John the Baptist. John had been preaching unto the people, and he had told Herod that it was unlawful for him to have the wife to whom he was married because he had been Herod's brother's wife. And so Herod had him put to death. His head was given to them on a charger. And after as well, the 12 had returned from preaching over the limited commission, Mark 6 and verse 30, Luke 9 and verse 10. And so he took them away by boat to rest, because they were given no opportunity to rest. The multitudes gave them no leisure. Mark 6, 31 and 32. But the multitudes watch. They see Jesus and his disciples depart. They see where they're going, and so they come from all the cities round about, and they go and they meet Jesus and the disciples there. They come to that desert place near Julius Bethsaida, as we read in Matthew 14 and verse 13 and Mark 6 and verse 34. And because they have seen Jesus heal the sick, they come to him. They bring their sick, asking that Jesus heal them, asking that Jesus take care of them. And after this happens, after they come, Jesus has compassion upon the people, Mark 6 and verse 34. And therefore he spoke to them of the kingdom of God, Luke 9 and verse 11. He healed their sick, as we read in Matthew 14 and verse 14, after which Jesus went up into a mountain with his disciples, as we read there in John 6 and verse 3. And now, it being late in the day, Jesus lifts up his eyes, he comes out, and he sees this great multitude. And the crowds are especially large at this time because many would be going to the Passover in Jerusalem. They're headed that way. As we read in John 6 and verse 4. And so there's our setting for what is about to take place. Now, Jesus has a conversation with his disciples. He looks out and he sees this great multitude and he asks his disciples what they are to do. Which shall we buy bread that these may eat, he says. And he asks Philip that question directly. They suggested in Matthew and Mark and Luke, when this question is posed unto them, they suggested that the crowd be sent away to go into the neighboring cities, the neighboring towns, and buy bread and pay for lodging. And then he asked Philip directly concerning these things, whereupon Jesus told the 12 to feed the crowd, Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. Again, testing Philip, he asked him where to buy bread in verse 5 here in John 6 in our passage. Philip noted the vast amount of money required. 200 pennyworth would not be sufficient, he said. It would take a great deal more than that. It would take a great deal of expense. But Andrew. You know, every time we read of Andrew, he's bringing somebody to the Lord. We don't know a whole lot about him. But every time we read of him, he's bringing someone to the Lord. He observed that there was a lad there that had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. You see, the Lord already knew, it seems. He knew what he was going to do. And Andrew brought him to the Lord. But he does so with this hesitation. But what are they among so many? Lord, what are you going to do with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish? There is no way that this small amount is going to feed 5,000 men. But Jesus tells them, you sit them down. He had that brought to him. You sit down the crowd. You sit them down in hundreds and in fifties upon the grass. He has the food brought to him and he blesses it. He gives thanks for the food and then he has the disciples distribute it to the people. We'll read of the accounts of this in all 4 gospel accounts. Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. And we find there that all the multitude ate and were filled. They had enough that they were hungry no longer. All from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And after they had eaten, 12 baskets full of leftovers were collected. But notice here that there's only 5,000 men. One of the other accounts says beside women and children. And so conservative estimates tell us there were nearly 10,000 people. Conservative estimates. 10,000 people up on that plain, up on that desert place that Jesus fed. And then finally, after they've eaten, the crowds are then dispersed. But notice the impact of the miracle that Jesus had just performed. The people want to make Jesus king. They were going to take him by force. And knowing that, seeing that, Jesus constrained the 12 to leave by boat for Bethsaida, which was a suburb of Capernaum. Matthew 14 and verse 2, Mark 6 and verse 45. After that, Jesus sent the multitude away and he withdrew into a mountain to pray. Matthew 14 and Mark 6. Now, we see that setting, we see the 5,000 fed. Now, what can we learn from that? Let's look at some things that are illustrated about Jesus here from his feeding the 5,000. First of all, what are some things that are illustrated about the character of Jesus? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Notice with me verse 36. Upon a different occasion, Jesus looks out at a multitude. And I want to notice his character here. Notice what is said of Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Mark 6, concerning this particular event, we read the same thing. He looked upon them and had compassion, looking upon them as sheep having no shepherd. He was compassionate. How was he compassionate? Well, friends, he healed their sick. He took all comers. Anyone that came unto him, he healed their sick. Matthew 14 and verse 14 tells us that concerning this event. Luke 9 and verse 11 tells us that concerning this event. John 6 and verse 2 tells us that he healed their sick concerning this event. He had compassion on them. He saw their need and he met them. He had compassion on them in teaching them. He wanted them to know the truth. He spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God, our passage says. He had compassion on them in that he fed the hungry. He saw them. Saw that they were weary. They had been there all day. He had been healing their sick. He had been teaching them. And still they stayed. They would not leave. And so he feeds them. He didn't have to. Remember, the disciples suggesting is send them away. Let them go into the neighboring cities, into the neighboring towns, and find food for themselves. Let them buy their own food. Let them buy their own lodging. But Jesus feeds them. And in such we see his compassion. He shows his compassion in his mission to save the lost. We read, of course, in Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do we not see compassion in that statement? God had enough compassion upon you and I. Jesus had enough compassion upon you and I to come to this earth to save us from our sins. Friends, Jesus is the definition of compassion. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. For all of mankind, he went to the cross. 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6 tells us that he gave himself as a ransom for all. Do we see his compassion upon his fellow man? Well, what do we learn from that? From the illustration of Jesus' compassion. Friends, should we not also be compassionate toward those in need? Should we not also be compassionate toward those that are in need physically? Remember, Galatians 6 and verse 10 tells us, "As therefore we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith." James 1 and verse 27 tells us what pure and undefiled religion is. It is to see, is to look after the fatherless and the widows. Those that are in need. But we need compassion. We should be compassionate toward those that are lost spiritually as well. Why else would Jesus give us the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16? "Go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Friends, Why else would he give us that order? We indeed ought to have compassion upon our fellow man. When we see a need, we ought to strive to meet it. Let me ask you this question. If I have no compassion in this life, can I expect compassion upon the judgment? Will God any longer have compassion for me? Will He offer me pardon if I have no compassion? Something else that we see illustrated by Jesus is that Jesus was thankful. Notice that when the bread was brought to Him, John chapter 6 again, that He gave thanks. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they say that He blessed it. Same thing. He gave thanks for the bread. Are we thankful for what we received? Are we thankful for what God has blessed us with? You know, something that's interesting here is when we go back and we look at history and some things that were written down by Jewish historians, friends, Jews, for the most part, thought that those who did not give thanks to God before eating, now get this, those that did not give thanks to God before eating were guilty of stealing. That's how they felt about giving thanks before eating. He gave thanks for that bread. Friends, should we not also, learning from Jesus at this point, should we not also be thankful? You know, James 1 and verse 17 tells us that every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Who is that? That's God the Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights. That's God the Father. Friends, we ought to be thankful for what we have. We ought to be thankful for what is put upon our table. Because God give us that. You know, Psalm 68 and verse 19. The psalmist writes there that He, God, daily loads us with benefits. Are we not blessed every day? We are. We're blessed beyond measure. At this moment, we are sitting in an air-conditioned building, a heated building, when it's needed. If you look above you, you have electricity, you have lights. You're sitting in a padded pew. Are you not blessed? You drove here in an automobile. You have a roof over your head, hopefully. And if you like to eat breakfast, you probably ate breakfast this morning. Are you blessed? Should we not be thankful? Jesus was thankful for 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Can we not learn thankfulness from Christ? What about the ability of Jesus? We saw His character. He was thankful and He was compassionate. What about His ability? You know, what we learn of Jesus here is that He can make the most of what little we may have. Andrew said when he brought the lad to Jesus, what good is this going to do? How far can 5 loaves and 2 fish really go? How are we going to feed 10,000 people with so little? Friends, what we learn of Christ is that He can make the most of what little we have. You see, Jesus simply asked, what do you have? What do we have available to us right now? Mark 6 and verse 38. He asked that question. And He commanded that what they had be used. Matthew 14 and verse 18. He took what was given. He multiplied the lad's loaves and fishes to feed the crowd. John 6 and verse 9. And friends, we can learn from Jesus here that if He can make the most of what little we have, He expects me to use what I have. He expects me to use what I have. He expects me to do what I can. He doesn't expect more of me than that. He expects me to do what I can. You know, Jesus, as well, we look at His ability and we find that He produced more than enough. Even after all the people had eaten their fill, He told His disciples to go and to gather all that was left over. And they gathered 12 baskets full of fragments. And notice in our passage, He said that there be no waste. It was going to be used by someone else. He didn't want it to spoil. Friends, it's not often the case that when we ask God of something, or when we ask something of God, rather, that He gives us above and beyond what we've requested. When we go back and we look throughout our Bibles, all the way back to Genesis, He's always given His people. He's always given more than what was asked. And friends, Jesus can do the same. When we look at this example of Him gathering the fragments, when gathering the leftovers, friends, we ought to learn something from that as well. We shouldn't be wasteful. We should use what we have. We should not be wasteful. Romans 12 and verse 11 tells us not to be slothful. You know, we should not be slothful. We should not be wasteful either in physical or spiritual matters. We learn that from Christ. Something else we learn about Jesus is that He can meet all our needs. You know, the people were drawn to Jesus for healing, John 6 and verse 2, and for teaching, Luke 9 and verse 11. And friends, people are continuing to be drawn to Jesus for the very same reasons. Jesus can heal our sin-sick souls. And we need His teachings. We need His gospel, or else we're lost. When we find the people there being unexpectedly fed, they had an abundance left over. Friends, we learn here that Jesus can supply all my needs. He can supply all your needs. He can meet those needs. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Begin reading with me in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all these physical things, shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Friends, what Jesus tells us there in Matthew chapter 6 is if we seek after the kingdom of God first, we shouldn't have to worry about anything else. We're going to be taken care of. It's going to be okay. And friends, in seeking God first, seeking the kingdom first, we need to seek Christ. We must seek after Jesus Christ because, friends, He is the only one who can meet our needs. He is the only one that can save us from our sins. There is no other one. So putting away our Bibles, let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. While we can learn very much from the feeding of the 5,000, we can observe even more by looking at other events in relation to it. Since this is the only miracle recorded by all four evangelists, we're caused to wonder why. Perhaps the answer can be realized when this miracle is observed in relation to what follows, and we're going to notice a little bit more about that tonight. So we want to invite, of course, everyone back to hear the second part of our lessons. You see, the next recorded event is about what happens to Jesus' disciples at sea that night when a storm arises. That is then followed the next day by a message from Jesus in the synagogue at Capernaum. So what do these things have to do with the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000? We're going to see. Friends, what do we know of Jesus Christ? We know that He came to this earth and He bled and He died for the remission of my sins. We see His power right here in this miracle. We see what He can do. We know that He can supply all my needs, but friends, He can only do that in His kingdom. Are you here this morning having never been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, would you allow Christ, would you allow His blood to wash you from your sins? Now, He's the only one that can do it. The blood of bulls and goats can't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. Only He can. Would you be washed of your sin? Would you be made white as snow? Are you here this morning having done those things? Believing in Jesus, repenting of sin, confessing Him, and being baptized. Have you done that? Friends, if you have you fallen away? Have you allowed sin back into your life? Are you even now living in it? Friends, come home. Turn away from that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Would you come home? Would you be His? Allow Him to cleanse your soul. Would you do so now while we stand and while we sing?